with the theme in mind. Amen? Everyone else, turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 19, verse 10, and then Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Psalms chapter 19, verse 10. And then Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the theme for this year, and let me explain a little bit. What was last year's theme? What was last year's theme? Love works. And it was an acronym, right? It was L-O-V-E, meaning what? Living out victory every day, what? Works. Well, how do you and I live out victory every day? You have to know who? Jesus. You get to know who? God. Amen? And so, do you mind closing that bit? The way that you and I can live out victory every day is by faith in God, in Jesus. How do we build upon that? I'm glad you asked. This year's theme is we're going to build victory. Well, no, go back. We're going to build victory through sweeter than honey, stronger than gold, through the Word of God. The Word of God is sweeter than honey, meaning what? It's going to draw you in, and also it's soothing to the soul. When you read it, it's sweet to the soul. It nourishes the soul. If you're bitter right now, guess what? The Word of God can make you delightful, joyful, sweet. Can I tell you what else it does? It builds your family stronger. The Word of God builds your marriages stronger. It builds your relationships stronger. That's why this year's theme is sweeter than honey, stronger than gold. Again, last year was living out victory every day. Works. How do you build on faith? With the Word of God. Amen? Because it is sweeter than honey, and it is stronger than gold. Psalm chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, more to be desired are they than what? Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the what? Than honey and the honeycomb. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable what? Well, how do we expect to do that? I have faith in God. You have faith in God. How can I live holy? How can I do things that are acceptable to God? How can you and I do our reasonable service? Continue. And be not conformed to this world. This is how you do it. I am not supposed to live my life modeled after the world. The world has an agenda. The world has a way of doing it. I am supposed to do it differently. But be ye what? Transformed. I am supposed to not be conformed in the way I do things in this world. I am supposed to be changed. My life is supposed to change, right? By the what? How can my life change? How can your life change? How can your mind and my mind be like the mind of Christ? That's what that is. Your renewing of your mind is not saying, oh, get another different version of your mind. It's think like Christ thinks. When you do things, do it with the mind of Christ. It says that ye, for what reason, folks? That ye may prove what is that what? Let me ask you something. Are you eating right? Right? And you decide to eat something, is it good for you? The Bible doesn't tell you if it is good for you to go to Texas Roadhouse. But how do you know if it's good for you to go to Texas Roadhouse or not? Well, it's real simple. By the renewing of your mind. Man, it's going to change your life. It changes your life. If you're eating something that's bad for you, and you view it the way that Christ would view it, and think about it the way Christ thinks about it, it'll help you. An acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to tell you something that has helped me, and hopefully it helps you. And this is what I like. How can this book that's ancient help me in my modern day life? How can this book that's ancient help you in 2026? I want you to know that God does not give us a step-by-step manual for every thousands of decisions that you and I make. He doesn't explicitly say what you and I can do. It doesn't tell you what kind of car to drive. It doesn't tell you what kind of house to buy. It doesn't tell you what kind of phone provider to get. It doesn't tell you what to eat. It doesn't necessarily tell you a lot of things. How to raise a family. It doesn't tell you how to spend or how to give or build relationships. But I will tell you that the scripture is sweet. The scripture, if you read it, it transforms your mind in such a way that you have the mind of Christ. So guess what? You will know what to do. You will know what house to live in. You know what? Guess what? You will learn how to do. When to be generous, when not to be generous. When you and I have the mind of Christ in us, you and I will know what to eat, what not to eat. You and I will know what type of person to marry, what type of person not to marry. That's how the Word of God works. If you and I are flowing through the will of God, it's because we're obeying God's revealed word or God's revealed will through His commandments. Are you reading the Word of God enough that it draws the sweetness out of you? It nourishes your soul. And are you reading the Word of God enough that it makes you stronger than gold? That's the question. You get it? It's spiritual. That's what's helped my life. It's the Word of God. It's changed my life. I know many of us here can say the same thing. It is God's Word that has changed our life. When we obey it, when we apply it, it is God's Word. Pastor, why? Because now it has given us a renewing of our mind. We no longer think like the old us. We think like in the mind of Christ. Why? Because it's Christ's word. Amen? It is the word of God that transforms us. It is the word of God that teaches us. And I'm going to tell you, this is why scripture is sweet. This is why the scripture nourishes. This is why the scripture satisfies our soul. Instead, you and I need to understand, instead of reading magazines or these novels or these books, and I'm not against it, but instead of doing that and investing our time and consuming a lot of that junk, I want you to understand that it is the Word of God that helps us build strong families, strong marriages. Why do you think sometimes we choose the wrong friends? Why do you think? Because you're thinking. You're not allowing Christ to think and saying, hey, look, this is acceptable to me. This is God's will for your life. Again, it's not very specific because we have 10,000 decisions to make every day of our life. But why is it we choose wrong? We're not viewing it. Or we're not thinking about it, about that relationship with the mind of Christ. You know how we're thinking about it? With our mind, with human logic, reasoning. Have you submitted those thoughts to God? Well, how do I do that, Pastor? Or have you gotten into the scripture? Or are you letting your friends get into your ear? Yeah, but they go to church. It's not the Bible. You know who Jesus didn't sit with? People in the church. That's interesting. Then what's the point? Well, we're commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, right? There's a purpose for the church. We're just using the wrong purpose. When we get the Word of God in us, we'll see the purpose of the church. We no longer go to church because mommy and daddy told us to go to church. We no longer go to church because we like how the preacher makes us feel. No, we start going to church because the Word of God is changing our life. And now we view the benefits of going to church. I want you to understand, here's the first point. God's word is sweet. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." I love that. It's complete. No error. Amen. "Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure." Just so you and I understand, the law, the testimony are the same things. It's talking about God's commandments, God's word, okay? It's His testimony. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure. Making wise the what? You know, I can live my life and I can ask questions, and when I make a decision, I could not be sure about it. I have to sometimes do a pro list and a con list, right? Or sometimes I have to make an estimated decision, a guess. With God, it's for sure. No guessing. We're praying for a property over there. We don't know what's going to happen, but I don't have to guess. I don't have to pursue something if it's not God's will. All I know is if the door is open, like Revelation tells me, he opens the doors no man can shut, and shuts the door no man can open. He has the key of who? The key of who? Revelation. The key of who? David. Thank you. Come on, man. I thought y'all were Bible readers. The key of David. That's a master key. That's the king's key. That can open every door of opportunity for you. Amen. By the way, if he doesn't want you to walk through that door, guess what he can do too? Close it. So why am I going to force it? You see, when you obey the revealed will of God by his commandments, by his word, then you'll know the specifics. Because the word of God is sweeter than honey. It draws you in. It's so sweet and soothing, nourishing to your soul. It's healing too. Honey has healing factors. I didn't know that. Amen. I was doing research on it. But you know what? It makes you stronger than gold. Puts you through that fire and you come out the better for it. More refined. Ready. Making wise the simple. God's word is sweet. And can I tell you, that is what builds strong faith. Church, the word of God is life-changing. It converts the soul. It lays a foundation that's strong enough to build victory. I want you to know that sweetness is not just a feeling, but sweetness is a transformation. We become sweeter. We delight in the things of the Lord. We have that joy of the Lord when we get into his word. Amen? It's not a feeling. It's a transformation, a change taking place when we consume the word of God daily. This is why you can talk to your wife, husband, sweeter. Amen? Because you have the word of God in you. This is why, ladies, you can delight in your husband when you get the word of God in you. It's sweeter. You might not be married, but can I tell you something? This is why your relationships could be joyful, full of joy. You say, Pastor, but they don't go to church. Well, who did Jesus sit with? We can't use this excuse any longer. We can't live like the world lives. This is 2026, and what we're trying to do here is get out of the way. That's all we're trying to do here. Get out of the way for God to do his work. See, Victory Baptist Church is not about an individual. It's never been about an individual. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the pastor's wife. It's about God's will for our church. Amen? That's what it's about. If we are in God's will and we're obeying God's revealed will for our life, his commandments, his word, guess what he'll do? He'll open the doors for us to reach this community for Christ the way he wants it reached. Amen? With this new leadership team that we're having, I'm going to tell you, they're going to guide our ministries. And listen, after 11 years, brother, I'm tired. Sorry, all this. I'm sorry. That's holy water. It'll that spray, brother, it'll dry up, okay? It's okay. I love you. I'm tired. It doesn't mean I'm going to quit, but I'm thankful to God that he's given us people with the energy, amen, that I no longer have, amen? And praise the Lord, I'm able to focus more on what I need to focus on, the priorities of preaching, praying, amen, and being there for counsel for our church people. These ministry leaders, they're going to be able to reach marriages. They're going to be able to reach lost souls, the teens, the children's ministry. I want you to understand that's very important. That's very important for our church. And so It will depend if we're successful or not. It will depend if these spiritual leaders are rooted in the sweetness of God's word. And that's my challenge to you. Get into the word of God. Get into the word of God. Don't lead the Christian life based off a tradition or preference or what the pastor says. Get into God's word. He'll show you his specific will for your life. A strong faith, I truly believe, is what allows leadership to lead well. But it also helps families thrive. It helps relationships grow. I notice it'll help our ministries impact this community for Christ. But we can't do it without the Bible. I appreciate Brother Benjamin and Miss Amber, and I'm thankful for the program because it more is directed towards what? The Bible? Memory verses? Amen? I think that's what our children need. They need to learn more about the Bible, what the Word of God says. That's what we need. Amen. You say, Pastor, why? So it can last? See, I just want you to know this, and I hope I'm making it clear. I'm not trying to be mean, okay? And I don't think I'm going to be mean, but what we're trying to accomplish here as far as accommodate people for our growing church is this. We have to think that building victory in 2026 is bigger than us. It is. It's bigger than the pastor. Amen? Think about that. Amen? But, you know, it's bigger than us. You know what it's about? The future. It's about those people that are not here yet. They're not members of our church. They'll be walking through those doors. It's about them. It's about these children, the next generation to come. What are they going to have in place to continue the work of God? It's about them. He said, Pastor, it's not about us. That's why I'm trying to be clear with you. I mean, we're going to have a say. We're going to be able to invest. But at the end, you have to look at the big picture of life. We can't take this with us, can we? Can we? But you know what we can do? Set it up in such a way that this ministry continues to grow without us, continues to reach people without us, continues to strengthen families without us. How, Pastor? By setting biblical principles in place, systems and processes that are from the Word of God. Amen? Amen. That's why I say we believe in a culture of growth. Accountability is if I do wrong or if I need corrected or anyone in the spiritual team is not on board with certain things, guess what? Accountability is real. I've given a scripture about that. I need to be humble enough to take the correction, fix it, and reconcile our relationship, right? Amen. Why? It's not about me. I can't be too big to think, oh, that doesn't apply to me. What happens with churches? How many of you have been in churches where it almost like the leadership of that church was bigger than the church or bigger than the Word of God? Amen? Okay. And what happens with that culture? It becomes what? Why? Pride. But it does, doesn't it? It becomes so toxic that you don't feel comfortable anymore growing there. It's almost like if you don't do it my way, there's the highway. I'm thankful to God he doesn't think like that about me. Amen? I'm glad Jesus didn't think like that. Oh, he's going to the cross. I don't know about getting splinters in my hands. Well, he got more than splinters. Amen? But I'm thankful to God he went through with it, and he didn't give up on me. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go through it. You're worth dying for. It's not my way or the highway, but the reality was this. He said, God, it's your way. I'm going to follow you through. And you know what that did? It changed my life. It can change your life too, but it begins with the Word of God because God's Word is sweet. If we truly want to build victory in 2026, each of us must commit to reading the Bible daily. Each one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, this is what God blesses. But I'm going to tell you, it's God's Word that shapes our decisions. It's God's Word that shapes our mindset. We must get into the Word of God. We must teach the Scripture in our homes. Now listen, I know, you know, my wife and I, we work on this. We're not the best at it, but just like every family, we work at it. We enjoy having devotions. and we read the scripture, and probably not the way we should, but just like everybody else, we work on it, right? But why do we want to do scripture and show the kids at home that it's okay to read the Bible and have devotions? Why? Because we want to raise them in the teaching of the Word of God that it's okay to do so. If we think it's okay to pick up the remote control and watch TV, then my friends, I'm going to tell you, it's okay to pick up the Bible and start reading it in our family. Amen. If it's okay for us to, whenever we want to, go to the pantry and eat some food, amen. No, we have certain schedules. But if we think it's okay, then guess what? It's okay to pick up the Bible and get spiritual nourishment. It's okay. If your kids are not growing up, or if your grandkids are not growing up, or if there are children under you that are not growing up under the admonition of the Lord, can I tell you, my friends, we need to change that. Teaching the scripture raises families that have faith and wisdom. Preaching, studying the Bible in our church is important. This is why we have Sunday school. This is why we have spiritual leaders. This is why we have a pastor and a preacher that preaches the Word of God. Amen? Why? It's helpful. The Word of God is sweet. And I'm going to tell you something. If you and I teach our young people to consistently obey the Word of God, their life will be much sweeter for it. Church, we don't need more gold to live victorious lives. We need more of the Word of God to live victory every day. You know, popularity only holds you for so long, or fame, if that's what you're looking for. But I'm going to tell you what really truly heals broken heart and inner hurt. It's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Many of those people you see that are famous or popular, or they have these social media outlets, and they're just focused on that instead of their marriages, or focused on self instead of their relationships, they're really hurting. Think about it. They're so consumed with attention. There's something broken there. Amen? I'll say it. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen. I just want you to know, I want to challenge you today. Commit to growing your faith daily. Let the Word of God shape your marriage. Let the Word of God shape your family. Let the Word of God help you. Participating in the ministries of Victory Baptist Church. Here's the second point. God's design is strong. We know God's Word is sweet. It helps build the faith. But God's design is strong. Why, Pastor? It helps build families and it helps build unity. We're a church family here. We want this to be united. Well, we need to keep into the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the what? They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman what? Waketh but in vain. See, look, we're trying to build. We're thinking about plans like that. But if God's not in the plans, if God is not in that property, guess what's going to happen? It's going to fail. Amen? I need us to understand this. It's going to fail. But just like many of you back then, when you made a very large investment in your home, in your property, I don't know what you were thinking, but I know what my wife and I was thinking. We were thinking, you know, this is going to be a legacy for our family. Not necessarily an inheritance, but it's going to be for our family. We were building a home. And we were making a statement with that home. And actually, this is one of the verses. If you go to our home in the concrete, one of them, I think it's the back patio, has Psalms 127, verse 1. We understood that we couldn't do that without God. We were literally trying to build a home on our property that was undeveloped. The other verse is Joshua chapter 24. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We were trying to make a statement. This house is not just for looks. We're going to use this home to build lives for Christ. That means our immediate family. That means our extended family. And that means our church family. And even if you're not part of the church, that home is there for that. You know what? This church is here for that. Amen. This is a place for everyone to know who? Christ. If we're going to build victory, I'm going to tell you something. Before the walls, before we put up rooms, before all that, God must build us. Think about what I'm just saying there, what I just said there. Before we can erect a building or we could break the ground, before we can put a shovel in the ground and saying, hey, look, this is a special day for us. And it is going to be a special day. And we'll make it a special day. But my friends, God must build us. How else is he going to do that? By making us strong. How? By his word. By his word, he can build us. This is what we need to understand, folks. I want God to protect our marriages. I really do. But I'm going to tell you, a broken home weakens churches. I come from one. Yeah. I'm not what's the right word? What's the opposite of shame? Proud. I'm not proud to say that. Amen? I'm not. But that's what happens to churches when you have broken homes. I want to invest in our youth. I want to invest in our church, in our children. But I'm going to tell you something. It has to be God who builds the future, not us. How? By the word of God. I'm a simple preacher. It's by the word of God. I'm just showing you the different vehicles and the different avenues on how God's word can make us sweeter and make us stronger. Amen? It is God's word, not pastor's message. God's word, not pastor's points. God's word, not the theme. It's God's word. Amen? That's what's inspired. Do you know the honeycomb is one of the strongest structures in the world? And it's not because it's one cell. It's because it's many cells that are connected. You know the honeycomb? It's a what? What shape is this? Let's try to go back to school. What shape is this? Hexagon. Amen. Not the pentagon. Amen. A hexagon. Amen. This hexagon is connected to others. And together, when a one cell is weak, guess what the others do? They don't fall. You know what they do? They support it. Interesting. Man, that's why I like studying a little bit. Amen. Even though I know I'm out of school. But when you look into the honeycombs and one of them is ruined, guess what the rest do? They support it. Can I tell you something? That's our calling. Support one another. When one of us are weak, we're supposed to support one another. Each and every one of your families, or even each and every one of you as an individual, you're a cell. You're a hexagon, a honeycomb. I mean, a part of the cell that creates the honeycomb. You're one. And my friends, can I tell you that in the same way with the new property, or even in this property, the new space, we need to be united. That's how we're stronger, not when we're divided. You say, Pastor, how do we do that? Love. The Word of God teaches us God is love. Love one another, right? Man, it even teaches me to the point I need to love my enemies. Those that wish ill toward me. And I'm like, well, I'm not that Christ-like. Okay, well, you know, God's still working in all of us. Amen. It's difficult to do, right? When someone wishes your downfall and harm. Yeah. Or someone, never mind. God builds strong structures. But I'm going to tell you, it's with that connection. I just want you to know that Victory Baptist Church is not built by a lone ranger or one family. It's built by all the families. Amen. Together. Third point, and I'm done. Wow, everybody woke up. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's work is worth the cost. God's work is worth the cost. Pastor, why? Look at it this way. If you had the opportunity to invest, God builds what he's going to build here, and then you were to come back to it, maybe let's say in 20 years, and you walk through those doors and you see the people and you see the new faces, probably faces you don't know. Would you walk through those doors regretting it? That you see people saved? That you see these kids that once were sitting in the pews now teaching classes, now being the leaders of the church? Would you be upset? Or would you say, it was worth it? It was worth it. God's work is worth the cost. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye, or like we say in Texas, y'all, are God's husbandry. Ye are God's what? Building. Paul here is reminding us of the work of God. It's not done by spectators. Listen, it's not going to be done by spectators or bench warmers. It's going to be done by builders. You know those bees are builders, amen? They're busy bees, right? We are in the kingdom of God. We are in the people business. We had 6 first-time visitors here. How many of you were able to shake at least one of those person's hand, one of those people's hand? Man, think about that. Oh, well, I don't know them. Well, I get it. I don't know them either, right? I don't know them. But I know I like their destination. They're from Houston, amen? I don't know them. I do know this. This is a place for everyone to know who. So were they able to see Christ in you? I'm too tired. Who's not tired? Please don't raise your hand, because we're going to have to like hate on you. Amen. We're going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the secret. Go to work. Amen. Who's not tired? Amen. Everybody's tired. Amen. We push ourselves. We move forward, not wanting to do that thing, the extra, going the extra mile. I might be tired. My back hurts. Amen. I'm going to blame my wife. Amen. Sorry. Love you, babe. Our garbage disposal stopped working. I'm not an electrician. I found that out. Shante, you're laughing? Garbage disposal went out. I'm thinking, Brother Chuck, it's the plug. The GFCI plug. I think that's what it's called. The ground fault interceptor something. Amen? Current interceptor. That thing is put in, if you have a sink, ladies, and you know, some of you, I know, you like washing the dishes. Amen? But others, amen? My girls, they like putting the dishes in the dishwasher. Amen? And it just so happens that dishwasher didn't work. Now, I know this has some kind of biblical application. I just don't know what it is right now. Oh, yeah, I remember now. We're all tired. Well, not to put cheese with that wine. Amen? My back hurts. Amen? My back hurts. My wife needed that garbage disposal fixed when? Yesterday. Amen? And guess what? It wasn't fixed because it broke. I thought it was a plug. So, Edward, I'm never wrong. I know I was right. I went to go fix the GFCI plug. That's the one that cuts the current. Guess what? It was messed up, but that wasn't the problem. After I fixed it and hit my head several times under the sink, amen? And if you've seen me, it's like the funniest thing when I'm trying to fix something, amen? Because of my back, I have to like look a certain way. So I'm over there, and while my wife is drinking coffee, she's like, you need help, baby? And I'm like, no, baby, I got it. I'm kidding. My wife was working, amen. I'm over there trying to fix the plug, fixed it, put my phone charger in there with my phone. I'm like, it's working. Why is this garbage disposal not working? Guess why it's not working? That's what I thought. So I put the unclogged it. There's a way of fixing it in the bottom. It wasn't that. The power wasn't on. That'd be nice. Amen. It wasn't that easy. Why do you think it wasn't working? It was what?
Broken.
Boom. It was broken. That thing gave up the ghost. Wow. I was like, oh, great. So guess what I did? I didn't have time to complain or gripe. Mama needed that fixed like yesterday. So I didn't tell her. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, because if I tell her, she's going to think I was wrong. And then she's going to say she was right. And then I'm like, I need to show her that this GFCI plug doesn't work. Amen. And then I showed it to her and I said, hey, look, babe, it's not working. She's like, oh, so is the garbage disposal working? I'm like, no, not yet. She's like, why? I said, I don't know. So anyways, I go sneakingly to Lowe's, buy a new garbage disposal. Amen. And I come back. She sees me trying to put it in there. And I had to change the air button that connects to turn off and on. So I had to do all that. Guess what? Now I'm feeling it. I'm like this. Guess what? She was right. Amen. Garbage disposal gave up the life. Amen. You say, Pastor, well, what's the point? The point is this. We're going to get to this place. We're going to be broken. We're going to We're going to be soldiers. The scars show our wounds, amen, that have been healed. It's not going to feel good going through this process. But I will tell you this. If we keep the word of God priority, it will be sweeter than honey or as honey, and it will be stronger. We'll be stronger for it, and we will shine. But don't think that it's okay not to do something if you're tired or you're broken. Many of us know what that feels like. But you know what? That doesn't stop us from living life. Life begets life. So don't quit. Don't stop. Amen? Bow your head. Close your eyes. I'm thankful to God for what He's doing in our church. I really am. But I will say, nothing can be accomplished without His Word. As the piano plays, maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe you'd like to do business there, but the altar's open, my friends. This is the time where you and I can talk to God while we're in church, and if the message convict or move, do business with God. Talk to God. Speak to God. Maybe tell God, I need to get more into your word, Father. Maybe I need to get to know you more through